Hi, this is David Silverman, president of American Atheists, and you are listening to the Canadian Atheist Podcast.
100,000 years, people have been, our species have been around on this speck. Born, usually dying, actually, a great number of them in childbirth, wouldn't have got beyond being born. For the first 80 or so, 90 or so thousand years, nearly 100, not living more than 25 to 30 years at the most, then probably dying of their teeth, if they were lucky, or of the other needless mammalian things that show us that we bear the stamp, as Darwin put it, of our lowly origin, the appendix we don't need anymore, innumerable other shortcomings of our design. We've designed to live on the savanna that we've escaped from. Terrible disease, suffering, misery, malnutrition, and fear. Where do the earthquakes come from? Why is there an eclipse? What are the shooting stars doing? And awful cults of sacrifice to try and ward off what are in fact natural events. And war, and rape, and the kidnap of other peoples, and the enslavement of them. All of this goes on, gradually inching up to the point where you can brew beer, a breakthrough in my view, domesticate animals, separate one kind of corn from another. So very millimetrical progress, but terrible struggle, sacrifice, pain, misery, and above all, fear and ignorance. And you have to believe this if you believe in monotheism. For the first 97,000, 98,000 of this, heaven watches with indifference. Oh, there they go again. People, that whole civilization's just died out. Well, what are you going to do? They're raping each other again. They're poisoning they think that the other tribe has poisoned the well, so they're going to kill all their children. All of this, just watch all that. 3,000 years ago at the most, it's decided, no, we've got to intervene now.
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, if this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor, so if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Why not join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Monday, March 19th, 2018. I am Michael.
I am Dean.
And this is episode 48.
There you go. I didn't help you at all this time.
No. I'm learning the things. I'm learning the things. Yeah. So, how you doing, brother?
Doing good.
It's been like forever since I saw you.
I know. It's been a whole 2 days.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week.
But before that, it's been a while, right? So.
Yeah.
It was a crazy 3 weeks at work for me, but hopefully that's slowing down a little bit now, so I can get back to somewhat normal routine.
Yeah. Well, shit happens, right?
And shit happens.
You know, work has to take precedent. You know, this is only your love, right? Work has to take precedent.
Work pays the bills, but this makes me happy.
Yeah, there you go. Got some positive feedback on the episode we did on Saturday.
Oh yeah,
David Silverman. Yeah, it was good. A couple of the state directors.
Mm-hmm.
Liked and shared the post.
Very good.
So that was good. I regret that. I mean, it would take a miracle for me to be able to get down to the convention.
Yeah, no, the month. Where is it again? It's in
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a bit of a trek.
Yeah. But everybody listening to this, if you have the means and the time, get the fuck down there because it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
Like David said, his mission for this is to have everybody leaving with sore cheeks.
That's right.
From smiling so much.
Yes. I'm glad you added that last part. From smiling so much.
Yeah, you have to qualify that. See, look at this. Look at...
Buttercup's going all over the place, yeah.
She's trying to climb out of her cage.
I had her out for...
I've never seen her do that before.
Yeah. I had her out and downstairs, and we were hanging on the couch for like 2 hours last night.
Yeah.
And I got Shannon to hold... a bit of her.
Oh, like, yeah.
I was holding the business end, and she was like, "Nyeh!" she's a little freaked out. She gets a little freaked out by the locomotion.
Yeah. Well, it is an interesting way to move.
Yeah. Yeah. marvel of evolution.
Yeah. I don't need no legs.
Hey, fucking legs. Poof.
Well, they have that, legless lizard.
Yep.
It's a lizard that looks a lot like a snake. It's got little modified scales that where its legs used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why you can tell that it's a lizard and not a snake, well, first it's short and fat.
Yeah.
But they do have short and fat snakes, and it's got a big fleshy tongue, so it doesn't have that forked.
It's got a big fleshy tongue, and it also has ears.
All right. Okay.
Also has ears, and snakes through the evolutionary process just had the scales, like the bone structure is still there.
Yes.
But the scales have just grown completely over it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And they have the heat-sensing pits in their nose, so they...
Yeah, but not all snakes have
them. No, just the ones that are deadly.
No. Pythons have them. Pit vipers.
Pythons are deadly.
No, they're not. Maybe like an African rock python or an Indian python or a retic or something. And that's only if you're hungry and are stupid enough to go where they live and
she
eat.
She, full-grown, could kill you.
She's going to be about 6 feet long.
Yeah, if she wrapped around your neck, she could kill you.
Well, no, because I would, like, you would have the wherewithal, I don't want to think about this, but you'd have enough time to get somewhere and, like, cut her off, right? But I'm also not worried about that. Like, Odin,
I'm not saying you're worried about it, but she could kill you.
The other, I guess, technically, right?
Yeah.
You know,
technically.
Like, technically, yes, but possibly, probably not. My other big ball python, Odin, that I had him for 18 years. He was a very large male, and when I would have him out of his terrarium for a while, when I went to put him back, if he didn't want to go in, he just kind of lunched under my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not going in. And there was a couple of times where my arm got tingly.
Yeah.
Where he's like, because I'd be trying to put him in, he's like, I don't want to. And he would keep coming out and moving back up my arm, basically not wanting to go back inside. So, but they're super cool and
she's really on the move though.
Yeah, she is. She is. She could be getting close to being ready to eat. It's a little more than a week, but I'll probably let her go a few more days before she eats again.
You feed her frozen or...
Frozen mice.
Not live, right?
No. It's too easy for them to be bitten by them. And so frozen thawed. And Odin wouldn't do that. Odin was... I got Odin after he had his first couple live... kills
and the sweet gamey tang of blood.
I started him on frozens and he's like tiff, fuck. So he would grab it, wrap it up, and then 2 seconds later let it go and be like, I ain't eating this. I threw a live one in there, game on. He, for whatever reason, that's what he liked. She fortunately goes for the frozen thawed, which is good because there's just less possibility for problems. Odin was bit a couple of times. And once I had to take him to the vet because the rat bit as well. He was much larger, so you have to give him bigger rats, right? And he was eating a rat. The body on the rat was a foot long.
Wow.
And so he grabbed onto it, but it got its head loose a little bit, and it bit him and drew blood.
Wow.
So I'd take him to the vet and get him checked out and, like, bit down to the muscle wall. Because, I mean, they can bite. Big fucking teeth, right?
On
a rat. So I had to reach in there with a fork and kind of move its head a little bit.
Wow.
And then once I moved its head, he cinched up. And then it was just like, oh, so this is how it ends. Yeah. And then it died. So, and that was shitty because he then, of course, finished killing it. He ate it. And then I had to wait a little while.
Yeah, before you take it. Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, I started with just some first aid, right? Just some hydrogen peroxide, because you can do that.
Doesn't that hurt?
No. Hydrogen peroxide doesn't sting a snake any more than it stings you and me. Rubbing alcohol stings like a motherfucker. But hydrogen peroxide
stings,
no,
too.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know. I've never used it, so...
Well, how the fuck would you know that?
Well, because my sister was...
Don't say your fucking kid's names.
No. My sister was in a car accident, and she had a big bandage on her hand.
Okay.
And in order to take it off, they said use hydrogen peroxide to help take it off. And she was pouring hydrogen peroxide, and it was all bubbling thing, and she was in extreme pain.
I think she was just a weakling.
Well, she had to have it was a gnarly, gnarly wound.
Yeah. I mean,
it's so like she scraped away all the tendons on the top here, so her finger like kind of hangs down.
That's gross.
Yeah.
My worst experience with anything was
skin grafts and all that.
I wiped out on my bike once, and this rock went and tore a huge chunk of skin out of my knee.
Mm.
And so I had this little kind of hole, right? So I get home, and my dad kind of, you know, cleans it out a little bit. and then he pours it iodine in it.
Oh.
And he fills up the hole with it. He's like, blip, 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 blip.
Oh.
That's the first time my dad heard me say fuck. I was 9. And I was like, fuck! And he was like, what? And I'm like, it fucking hurts! Of course, that not in my 9, it fucking hurt, my 9-year-old voice, right? But yeah, that was my experience with, my first experience with iodine. And that hurts like a motherfucker.
Well, I got into an accident on my bike too. I was racing my friend and I had won. So I raised my arms in a V, you know, kind of looking up, and then the bike veered off and hit the curb, and my leg slipped off the pedal. And you know when the pedals pedals are the ridges. Spikes.
Oh, that's like a cheese grater.
And so my foot slipped off the pedals and it scraped up my leg.
That's gnarly.
Yeah, and I fell off my bike and I looked down at my leg and I just saw these three white in my leg, but it was just white, and then the blood slowly came.
Yeah,
and then
because the skin was in shock.
Yeah, so I went home and we put a bandage on it, and then that bandage obviously got
soaked through.
Got my skin healed to the bandage. So I had to get into a warm bath and try and slowly peel it off so I could put a clean one on.
Nice. This episode of the CA will be discussing all things gnarly injury related, both reptile and human. Okay, we got a fuck ton of news to get. We have so much news to get to.
I don't think we can do all that.
There's no way we're going to get to it all, because news. Hey, let's start off with a good news story.
Okay.
Not really.
Oh. I feel like Charlie Brown, you're Lucy with the football.
I fucking hate Lucy. If I was Charlie Brown, I'd have put her head in a fucking door and slammed it shut.
Well, I wouldn't go kick the football. I'd kick her.
Yeah, exactly. Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Charlie Brown. Need to
hoof that bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you stay there, Lucy. It's all good. It's like, you know, a kid's first exposure to domestic violence is fucking peanuts. Oh, man. Okay, so this is an interesting story. It comes from the Patheos blogs. Michael Stone. The Tennessee GOP, the good old party.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like it's going anywhere good.
They did something that they believed was really important. There was a bill before the state legislature to ban childhood marriage.
Okay, that sounds like a good thing.
They stopped it.
What's considered childhood marriage? Like,
yep. And now, but this is a continuation. We didn't talk about this because I missed the story, but it happened 2 weeks ago in Kentucky.
Oh my goodness!
Home of fried chicken and children brides. This week it's Tennessee. After opposition from conservative Christians, Republicans killed the bill banning child marriage.
So why would they be against? Why would they want children to be married? Is a better question.
You'd have to ask them. I don't know.
By children, do they mean like 15-year-olds?
Yeah.
They'd have to be at least at breeding age, would they not be?
Let's read. The bill would protect children from child marriage. And it was killed. Okay. The Hill reports, State House Republicans in Tennessee on Wednesday effectively killed a bill to ban child marriages in an effort to bolster a conservative lawyer's case against a Supreme Court decision made on same-sex marriage. In essence, conservative Christians in the state are arguing that the Supreme Court's ruling essentially nullifies all Tennessee marriage licenses when it opened the spectrum to legal marriage beyond just a man and a woman. So this what they killed this bill because they're trying to end around to get back to same-sex marriage somehow. Because what they're saying is, listen, marriage was originally between a man and a woman. And if you're saying two men can get married, well, then what's wrong with marrying a child? That is essentially what they're saying.
That not even within the same room.
Of course it's not. It's not even in the same solar system. But a According to this theory, if Tennessee were to ban child marriages by modifying state marriage law, lawmakers would be acknowledging the existence of same-sex marriage. This is part of their argument. In other words, conservative Christians in the state are saying, to hell with the children, we need to stop gay marriage at all costs.
Yeah.
The bill, sponsored by Representative Darren Jernigan.
Okay.
Would simply prohibit marriages. Okay. And this guy's a Democrat. So basically, this Democrat said, listen, if you're under 18, you can't fucking get married.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't go through. Okay. Adding insult to injury, according to reports, the nonprofit group Unchained at Last says it has found at least 3 marriages in Tennessee involving children as young as 10 years old.
What?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's only one side of the marriage is that age.
Hopefully.
No, I mean, it'd be better if it was 2 10-year-olds getting married. But if it's a 40-year-old and a 10-year-old.
But listen, there's a very important lobbying group that has chimed in on this.
Mm-hmm.
When I read the name, you'll know exactly who they represent.
Yeah.
The Family Action Council.
Yeah, family.
Yes. Wants to continue, because right now, the modification is, with parental consent, basically anything goes. Without parental consent, it's 13-year-olds.
Oh, my God.
Can get married. Yeah.
What? So without parental consent, a 13-year-old
can still get married, can
be forced into marriage with some disgusting guy.
Yes.
And
a rapist.
With parental consent, younger than 13.
Yeah.
So well, in 3 cases, like they're talking
in 3
about.
Cases, 10-year-olds. My daughter at 10 years old, what was she into? Tamagotchis?
Okay.
I don't remember much else.
Yeah,
kids are horrible, and so that I tried to blur most of that. I've tried to blur most of that out. Like I've tried to forget most of it.
Yeah, 10. Children.
Your son.
Yeah.
In 4 years.
No.
In 4 years.
No.
Well, exactly. No. Exactly. No. It's just you get a big stamp, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Staples that was easy button. No.
Just
boop boop. No.
You're 17? No.
Yeah.
Even 18, I think, is early. You don't know who you are.
I don't want to use the bad word. I was cognitively deficient at 18.
Yeah.
I was dumb.
You don't think you are.
No.
But you are.
You are the smartest person that's ever lived when you're 18 years old. You're bulletproof.
Yep.
You're
smart. You know everything.
You understand how fucking stupid your parents are. They don't understand how fucking smart you are.
Yeah.
That is the lens of an 18-year-old.
Yep.
And then there was a great line. I don't remember where I heard it. But the line basically goes, the older you get, the smarter your parents get.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course the irony is, no, they already knew. You were the dumb one.
Yeah. Well, my 6-year-old already says that he doesn't need to learn anymore because he knows everything. He knows enough. Yeah, the only thing he needs to go to school for is so he can learn a little bit more French.
And okay.
The rest of it, he already knows.
Okay.
Even though every night before bed, he asks me questions. And his questions are getting quite complex. I think it's all about delay tactics.
Oh, so he can of stay course, up yeah. Later.
But he's asking questions like he was asking like the nature of gravity and stuff like that. He didn't use those words.
Right.
But that's basically what he was getting at. He asked where the clouds came from. He said, did the world come with clouds or did we make them? And I said it came with. And they said, all the water on the earth. Did the earth come with water or did we make it? I said it came with the water.
Okay, so Tennessee, fuck off.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, what the like I can kind of get what they're saying with like they want like 15, 16, whatever, because then you can start having kids early. And religious marriages is all about pumping out kids and adding numbers to the ranks.
Sure.
But 10-year-old?
No.
That's just pedophilia.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Unless you're going to sit down and play Tamagotchis all day, there is no reason for you to spend hours on end and put a ring on a 10-year-old's finger.
You're right.
10-year-olds should play with 10-year-olds.
Yes.
Maybe 11-year-olds, maybe 9-year-olds, maybe even 12-year-olds.
Sure.
Maybe 8-year-olds. But that's about it.
That's about it. That's about
even
it.
13 would be getting a little bit too much
when
cognitively.
When are you putting out your, you know, helpful parenting tips by Dean?
I should publish that, eh?
You should. Listen.
And I should send a copy directly to Tennessee exactly. And to that other fucking state that you mentioned.
Yeah, Kentucky. Dear Tennessee fuckheads. Hey, we got a local story.
Okay.
No, really?
Are you talking about what's going on at the school there?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't going to go there.
Well, it's not religion, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's just sickery.
Yeah.
No, this is Mr. Doug Ford.
Oh.
So for those of you who aren't from Ontario, you may be unfamiliar. Now, if you're in America, or most of the rest of the world.
Remember Rob?
You're probably familiar with our former mayor, Rob Ford, who has since passed away. And although you don't want to speak ill of the dead, fuck it, he's dead. And he was known as the crack mayor.
And if you watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, he actually had a segment on Rob Ford.
Yes. Yeah.
And Doug Ford, actually.
Yeah. And so, but now we got
Doug Rob Ford. And Doug McKenzie.
Yeah. Look up
Bob and Doug.
Never mind. Okay. Doug Ford anointed literally by controversial evangelical pastor as part of an effort to win social conservatives.
This is happening in Canada now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm seriously gonna ass rape this guy's last name. Pastor Paul McClinachuck.
I don't think that's how you say it.
Probably not. Of hey, you know where the Toronto Prayer Palace is?
No.
You don't know where that is?
Why would I know where that is? What is it?
It's at Weston Road and Black Creek.
What is it?
It's the Toronto Prayer Palace.
Prayer Palace.
It's a big fucking glass church with the whole thing, and it seats like 700 people. It's like a big. It is, well. It's that's not a big okay. So everyone in the U.S. just went 700 people, but in Toronto, that's in Toronto, that's a big. Now I'm not talking about like St. Mike's Cathedral, which is kind of old and Gothic and stuff like that. No,
it's
this
not
is like
Gothic.
This is like newfangled Jeebusy prayer palace.
Wow,
right. This is where this guy is the priest, the pastor of.
Like we need that.
Okay, now it's important to remember. That last year he was found not guilty for sexually assaulting members of the congregation. So he's totally okay to anoint Doug Ford.
Yeah.
Because he was found not guilty. The fact
that
he
exactly
was.
What exactly is that anointing?
So in the Bible talks about anointing people with costly oils.
Yeah.
Like basically it's kind of like a little baptism-y thing where they put on your head and shit like that, and apparently called God into your life and shit like that. I mean, realistically, anointing is nothing. It's not a thing. But to the Jebusy folk, anointing is a big deal. And in the Bible, they talk a lot about, like, with costly oils and shit like that.
Smear or rub with oil, typically as part of a religious ceremony.
Yeah.
High priests were anointed with oil.
Yeah. On the sprawling stage of Toronto's Prayer Palace megachurch, Doug Ford stood solemnly as Pastor Paul McShimmerdimne blessed him and his bid to be the Ontario Conservative leader, which now we know he already is
because
you fast forward.
So when did this happen?
This was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
This was just before.
Yeah. Well, it helped, obviously.
Well, fuck. but that's what they're saying, of course, right? Okay. Now, the pastor said, I'm sensing a deep I'm sensing a deep and profound anointing. He told his flock
with oil or with lube.
Well, lube can be expensive. if you buy the really good stuff, lube ain't cheap.
Yeah.
I don't want to use it in my frying pan.
Maybe it's just like some olive oil there. He felt the deep penetrating.
Yeah. Hopefully it was like, depending on what he's into, but hopefully it was the light tasting stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So he told his flock in a deep, dramatic cadence of the evangelical preacher. Behind them, the scene was broadcast on a towering video screen. Because of your prayer and your light, God's hand will rest upon Mr. Ford. And of course, this is just a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? He made it, therefore it worked.
Yeah.
If he hadn't made it, then it wasn't God's will.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter.
He's got some other plan.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's that. Now, Mr. Machulichuk, he's been in other trouble. I want to read this part of it because it's really important to understand.
So he was accused of being inappropriate with his churchgoers,
but he was found not guilty.
He
was found not guilty of that.
By who?
God. But also a little organization that, you know, that we get familiar with in Canada because we do our taxes and stuff. The Canada Revenue Agency.
Oh, okay.
They had a bit of a problem too with him back in 2016. Apparently their church is not a charity in good standing.
Okay.
So they didn't do the things they were supposed to do.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, what's interesting about that, in Canada, even though we still have really, really super lax laws for churches, they still have to produce documentation saying they're doing some shit with the shit they get. In the U.S., they don't have to do fuck all. Yeah. We're a church, suck my dick.
Yeah.
They say that both to the congregants and to the government. but in the U.S., they don't have to do anything. Fuck off, we're a church.
No, yeah. It's
and the government doesn't even ask them.
Yeah. No, it's all. Oh, you're a church. Okay, here you go. Do whatever you want.
But in Canada, they still have to produce some records to say, here's the shit we did.
Yeah,
the
there's paperwork, yeah.
They weren't in good standing.
Mm-hmm, because they weren't doing it.
Probably not. That investigation is still ongoing.
Mm. Well, hopefully they find some shit.
I wonder if that would affect the anointing. Hey.
It's already done.
Is that oil tax deductible? I don't know.
Depends how much you use.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to our next story. This one's not cool. This is from the Jamaican Observer.
The Jamaican Observer, okay. Yes.
Former pastor gets 8 years in jail for having sex with multiple underage girls.
Why only 8 years?
Well,
send the fucker out of prison for life. And then some.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, there's...
Okay, 8 years is fine if he's castrated as well.
No, the story starts out good. Right? Okay. But I didn't want to build you up and then let you down. So I figured I'd just cut your legs off right from the start. He was originally sentenced to 16 years.
Okay, it's still not long enough. But he's a priest.
So his sentence was commuted to 8 years.
Why?
Because he's a priest.
Who was fucking underage girls.
Yes. Yeah.
Does it matter who he is or what he is?
The church actually let him out on bail.
The church bailed him out.
Yeah, the church bailed him out to the tune of $800,000.
Oh, my God.
But luckily he stayed around. Now, what did they do that was right? They have labeled him. He's now on the sex offender list. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
And he's in jail for a minimum of 8 years. But, we've talked about this before, right? See, these kids' lives are fucking ruined.
Yeah.
And this guy will be, and he's in his 50s, right? So he's going to get out at an age where he can still do harm.
Oh, yeah. And he will do harm.
Oh, yeah, of course he will. Of course he will.
Because he's got the church for protection.
Yep. Oh, we can blast them through these. Okay, let's get to our next.
So these are so this is the that was from the Jamaican Observer, right?
Yeah, the Jamaican Observer.
And the church has $800,000 to drop on bail.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get it back, but still $800,000. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think? Oh man, that money probably came from their congregants.
Mm-hmm.
That's brutal.
Straight out of the collection plate.
Wow. Okay, so now, okay, this is not a good news story either.
That's why I don't like reading the news.
Yeah,
it's never good.
This one is from the Patheos blogs, Ed Brayton, from March 8th. Mr. Ben Carson and Mr. Donald Trump, they spend some time together in a room with an Etch-a-Sketch. And they've changed the mission statement for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Okay?
Yeah.
The former HUD mission statement was as follows. HUD's mission is to create a strong, sustainable, inclusive community, or to create strong, sustainable, inclusive communities and quality, affordable homes for all. HUD is working to strengthen the housing market to bolster the economy and protect consumers. Meet the need for quality, affordable rental homes. Utilize housing as a platform for improving quality of life. Build inclusive and sustainable communities free from discrimination. And transform the way HUD does business. So this was their ongoing mission statement.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's decent. But after the Etch-a-Sketch, we now have this one.
Okay.
HUD's new statement. HUD's mission is to ensure Americans have access to fair and affordable housing.
So they take out everything that has to do with inclusive and...
Yeah. And opportunities to achieve self-sufficiency, thereby strengthening our communities and nation. And that's it.
Oh, that's it?
They took everything else out.
Why did they change it?
Because it was too inclusive.
It was too good. They had to dumb it down a shade.
Well, now at least, it's two sentences.
Trump doesn't get bored reading it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cut us out of the fucking shit out of here.
The rest of it's too big to fit in a tweet.
Oh, that's good. That's good, brother. That's a good one. Yep. So that's all.
Wow. Yeah. Like the other one, it said inclusive twice, I think, the original one.
Sustainable, inclusive communities. Yep. Inclusive, sustainable communities free from discrimination. Yeah. So now they don't care about discrimination.
As long as you're an American. As long as you're an American, you get affordable housing.
That's right. Does Ben Carson know he's black?
I don't know if his eyes have opened enough for him to tell.
You know, and does Trump? No, Trump's not black. I'm not saying Trump's black.
Yeah, it is Trump. Yeah.
I don't know. There was a great, I was listening to Cog Dis this week, and they were talking about all of the people that have been either fired or resigned from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
It took Tom and Cecil just reading, they didn't read through names. They read through the jobs.
The positions, yeah.
It took them about 7 minutes to read them all.
Wow.
You know, because, I mean, you had, what, 3-4 press secretaries?
Yeah.
There's another 3 or 4 deputy press secretaries. The guy in charge of donuts. Like, everything, all the way fucking down the line.
Well, they were saying, like, the White House is, like, even if it was, like, a restaurant that you go to that had fired that many people, it's like, I'm not going to go here anymore. Something wrong's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
If that many people either got fired or left on their own accord.
Yeah. We have to go back now to Tennessee for a moment. Because we just talked about...
Tennessee's going down the shitter, isn't it?
No, but here's the problem. In one way, they're doing horrible things, okay? But then in another way, so if you get married, that's okay, right? But if you're a pastor and you rape and sexually abuse 47 young boys,
wow,
then they arrest you. And that's what happened.
What happens if it's 46?
Local authorities booked Ronnie Gorton, the pastor at the Awakening Church of Atoka, Tennessee, saying at least three people had accused him of molestation and rape. These charges include one count of rape, 16 counts of statutory rape by an authority figure, 5 counts of aggravated sexual battery with a victim under the age of 13, and more. That's how you get up to 47. More victims are still coming forward, and the Tipton County Sheriff Deputy Bill Doherty said they learned about this after one boy managed to gather enough courage to come to the police. And then it just all flooded open from there.
I want to know, why is it all these priests? Does the priesthood attract sexual predators?
No, it breeds them. When you we've talked about this before. When you take something as natural as sex and you say you can't vilify it. When you can't do it, Shannon and I were talking about this, right? Tell me I can't do something, I want to do it even more.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily equating the two.
I understand, okay, sex is bad, don't do it, don't touch yourself, nothing, right?
Right.
But why then molest young boys? Wouldn't it be less of a sin to go and just yank on yourself for a little while than to actually, commit the most grievous of crimes?
Well, sure.
Or they're just saying, fuck it, let's go all the way.
I don't have a good answer for that. But I think it comes to breeding, quite literally breeding, because it's this indoctrination process, right? That you go through and you have to deal with it for years and years. And I think you get to a point, because I think my thought would be that you can give it the old college try for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I mean, I have a hard time going 24 hours.
Obviously, right? But I'm saying this.
So if you have someone that goes 24 years without it, I think a spring breaks inside them and all of a sudden.
But it's not all.
No, it's not.
It's just a few. So are the others able to handle it, or are they not doing, are they pleasuring themselves and doing other things?
I think it's more likely the latter. I think it's more likely that they just said, fuck that shit, I'm jerking off in my loincloth, or whatever it is. You know, I'll get the nun's habit out of the dirty clothes and I'll use that. I mean, whatever it is, I don't know. But they probably don't sleep together. But whatever it is, right? But I think it's a lot of hyperbole going on here. But I think it's a combination of, you have some people who have some issues, and then you have some people who don't have issues that then develop issues because they are denying this perfectly natural thing for decades or longer. And then you have the other groups of people who say, fuck that shit, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I think there maybe are those three groups.
Because it's a few priests that are doing it. It's certainly not the majority, but it's a higher percentage than general population.
It's a higher percentage in general population. We also have no idea of knowing how many do it, because the diocese and all these different organizations,
they shuffle them around, hide it.
You know, Bernard Law shuffling all these priests around to other dioceses so they can do it to other people, and been doing it for decades, and who knows how many thousands of people have been hurt over the years. So I think it's a higher...
That right there is a perfect, perfect reason not to take your kids to church.
Yeah, exactly. That should be the poster. That should be the poster. Do you want your kids raped less?
Yeah.
Don't go to church. but seriously, so you have... I really think that it is this breeding of it and the breaking of these people.
Yeah, it's a good point. We don't know how prevalent it is.
We have no way of knowing how prevalent it is.
It could be as high as 50% or more.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
I don't know, and this is something maybe we should look into more. I don't know how many different denominations are no sexy time.
Aren't they all?
No, there's lots of them. There's lots of pastors in places that have wives and shit like that. And they just, you know, they have their wife.
Yeah,
and
but wives don't really necessarily mean sexy time.
I suppose that's true. But, see, they're all bent up and everything, too. You figured they'd be able to probably suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
But, I mean, that's like, probably like a sin or something, too, right? So it's only for procreation. That's what sex is for.
If head is a sin, oh, boy. Baby, you in trouble. I'm dead, too. So, yeah. But I think that it's... I don't know. I'm not sure what to think. Okay, and we're back. Slight technical difficulty there, but now we fixed it. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I don't want to talk about this anymore, so let's move on to the next story.
Yeah, please. Something a little lighter hearted.
Lighter hearted.
Well, something that doesn't involve raping of children.
Okay, the best...
It's a second child rape story you've told today.
Okay. You're making it hard for me to
third.
Pick.
Third, actually.
You're
third.
Making it hard for me to pick. Okay, here. How about this one? Iranian woman gets 2 years in prison for public removing her hijab.
Oh, my. Okay.
So she decided she was going to say, fuck this. And she took her hijab off in public. And she did it. When do you think she did it? What happened a few weeks ago? Do you remember?
A few weeks ago?
Yeah. International Women's Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's on International Women's Day.
She's in Iran, and she pulls out. She's like, fuck this shit. Now, this woman might be a hero of mine. And the reason I say that is because to do something like that in Iran...
Yeah, you're risking your life.
You are literally taking your life into your hands.
Yeah.
So she was arrested, of course, right? Because, you know, of course, why not?
Because her hair is showing.
Duh.
Well, there's that one movie. I can't remember the movie, but it was they said every hair that sticks out of your hijab or whatever it is like a dagger in the heart of Allah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got nothing. So okay, so a woman in Iran, for instance, was sentenced to 2 years in prison for publicly removing her headscarf or hijab to protest. An unjust law. In 2018, people are still being punished in the Middle East for choosing to wear, or for choosing not to wear this specific religious garment. The woman, who wasn't named, intends to appeal the verdict. But in Iran, there's no guarantee the courts will even allow
the appeal.
The appeal.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
Does she have to like defend herself? Because is there a lawyer that's going to take her case?
She did have a public defender.
Who's trying real hard, I'm sure.
The public defender criticized the light sentence.
Wow. Yeah. So her own lawyer thought she should go to jail longer.
Or be punished harder.
Wow.
Yep. This law has been in place since the Islamic Revolution.
Don't we have like a Western lawyer that can go down there and help this woman out?
I don't know. It's
like
hard.
A pro bono case or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, the hard part. So, I mean, I would like to think we've talked about this before. I would like to think that were I in that situation that I would defend this woman, but I'm a coward. So I probably wouldn't for fear of my own life.
Yeah.
And like Iran is not on the list of places I'm heading anytime soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But so yeah, so this law has been in place since 1979. The law stipulates all women, Iranian and foreign, Muslim or non-Muslim, must be fully veiled in public at all times.
Yeah. I know that for a fact. I went to school with a girl who her parents were engineers and lived in, I don't know if it was Iran, but it was one of those places. And she lived in the American compound. So while she was in there, you could do whatever you want. But if you go out, you have to be fully fully garbed and yeah. covered. And she actually saw public executions.
Ugh.
And she was young. She was like 14, 15, and she saw public executions.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, hey, let's move on to something a little lighter. Not really. This story is from the Friendly Atheist blogs, Hemnet Meta. A Bangladeshi critic of religious religious fundamentalism stabbed in the head before giving a lecture.
Wow.
Yep. Professor, oh man, I'm going to fuck this up real good. I'm just going to call him Professor Muhammad.
Okay.
Because his last two names are just not happening. Was about to take the stage during a conference at a University of Science and Technology in Bangladesh when he was attacked. A man known as, I'm just going to call him Rahman Fazil.
Okay.
Stabbed the professor in the head with a knife.
In the head?
Yep. Before being tackled and detained by authorities. The good news is the professor is still alive.
Yes.
And in stable condition.
Okay, good.
Luckily, this guy was too stupid to realize there's a big bone thing in your head called a skull. And the knife didn't penetrate.
Good.
Yeah. The reason for it?
Yeah.
The proliferation of science education.
Can't allow that.
Yep. That's the only reason given for the attack.
If this attacker knew a little bit more about science, he probably wouldn't stab him in the head.
Really? You're so dumb. You tried to stab a guy in the head. The only thing that could have made it funny is if he would have used a spoon.
Yeah, if he knew a little bit more about anatomy.
No, but if he'd used a spoon, that would have been funny, right? Because he tried to stab a guy with a spoon in the head. And if he would have known anything about science, right?
Well, so like biology, just learn a little bit about biology and know where you can stick a knife to actually do some damage.
I just made a joke about something being funny being stabbed in the head.
Yeah.
I've gone past the line. There's no hope for me.
But, yeah, it's...
Okay.
These people... okay, whatever.
We're going to move on. We're going to... guys, we're not going to have too long an episode tonight because we're both tired. So we're already at 47 minutes.
Okay.
So we've done pretty well.
That's not too bad.
So today we're going to end on a ridiculous note. If you were in charge of... education planning.
Ugh, Betsy? Are we talking about Betsy?
Well, if you were in charge of education planning in the U.S., a portion of it, okay? And money is doled out to places. But then you had a magic button where you could veto government spending on certain things. What would be the best place to veto and get rid of the money that's supposed to go for education funding?
So like Catholic schools and stuff?
Well, maybe. But instead, an abstinence advocate has been given veto power over $286 million in government funding. And one of the things they're doing is they're spending money to ensure Planned Parenthood doesn't get any more money.
They're what'd you call them?
Abstinence only advocate.
Advocate.
So don't fuck.
Because that works.
With teenagers especially.
Yeah.
With teenagers especially. So we talked about this.
And book. So if you're not able to deny your God-given urges.
Wah, wah.
And you actually end up fucking somebody.
Yes.
And it goes horribly wrong because you're extremely fertile.
Sure.
As teenagers.
Yeah.
Then where you go to take care of that, oops.
Oops, there it is. You can't
go because they're no longer funded.
Yep. Yep.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, you motherfuckers.
Yep. So they are really focused on ensuring that family planning services, mostly located in low-income areas.
Of course.
Okay. Agencies like Planned Parenthood and others don't receive funding. Okay. And the person in charge of this is the former president of the National Abstinence Education Association, later known as ASCEND. Yeah. Yeah. She has also opposed sex education programs in public schools.
I love the way they do it in lower income areas too, because if you're of a higher socioeconomic standing,
you can just fucking go wherever you want and get shit done.
And you make a mistake, they're gonna take care of that shit quietly.
But like how Trump do you hold, paying $130,000 to a hooker?
How do you porn hold star, sorry. People down? You burden them with things.
Yeah.
Like not being able to get health care. Not being able to get a proper education. Having children at a young age where they can't take care of them properly.
Yes.
Holding these people down so they cannot elevate themselves.
Oppressing them, yeah. Yep. Yep.
And denying them sex education, proper contraception, and doctors to go to if oops happens.
Yep. So this Peach here, she also is on the record as rejecting any stereotype that isn't male or female. So she doesn't accept any other gender identification.
Even though we know that it's a fluid system.
Yep. She's totally cut off to the LGBT community. Doesn't give a fuck about them.
That's the perfect thing. They can have sex all they want and they're never going to have a baby.
Yeah, well. And she is attempting to influence lawmakers into drafting legislation that would see included in sex education classes a mandated abstinence pledge.
No.
Yeah.
Mandated.
Yeah.
So that's mandatory, isn't it?
Yeah. We're telling you not to fuck.
These people have no idea how biology works.
No.
They just bury their heads in the sand.
Yes.
And then
that's not how you have fun with sex.
And then when biology takes its course, and then they refuse to allow women to have autonomy over their own bodies.
Yep.
And make a decision. Like, even make the choice. Yeah, okay, some of them will want to keep it, but if you don't, that's your choice.
That's the thing that's, and it's funny, you said a mouthful, literally, with that one, and it's all, to me, it always falls back on bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
It always, like,
it's your body.
It's your body, what do you want to do with it? Right?
They're like saying,
I think it has to. It has to.
You've got the flu. You can't take anything to abate your symptoms.
Yeah.
Because the flu virus has just as much a right to live as you do.
Oh, that's interesting. Hashtag all flu matters.
But I'm just saying, like, it's not, nobody's killing babies.
No, I know. It's just ridiculous.
Nobody's killing babies.
A clump of cells is not a baby. Yeah.
They're stopping cell mitosis. That is all.
Yep.
If I can take something that would stop a flu virus from spreading through my body, I'm going to take it.
Because you're also stopping mitosis.
Because it's my body.
Yep.
and it's living in my body off me. I am the host.
Yep.
And the host gets to make the decision of what goes on in its body. Yeah. In this case, the mother is the host, and she has the authority to make decisions over what happens in her body with this little fucking parasite.
And we talked about that before. We talked about the parasite, you know, the P word before. And it's hard because, you know, you liken, oh yeah, baby to a parasite. Well, by the strictest strictest definition, it is not incorrect. And that sucks because I'm not calling babies parasites.
Yeah, they're parasites long after they come out.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm just saying.
They're parasites till you kick them the fuck out of the house.
I'm saying that, okay, parasite's a strong word. But sure. What I'm saying is, what was I saying?
Bodily autonomy.
Yeah. It's gone. It's all about choice. No woman makes that choice lightly.
No, of course not.
It is a horrendous decision.
Yep.
And it puts enormous emotional strain on the person who makes that decision.
Yep.
Some so much so that they can't go through with it.
Or they kill themselves. That happens too.
Or they kill themselves to end a pregnancy, which would destroy their lives.
Yep. All that shit.
I mean, this is not something that's undertaken lightly. No woman that I know, or would care to hope to know, would use it as a form of birth control.
No. No. Although I do know people that have.
Really?
Yep. One of my sisters did.
Like, how can you get multiple? Like,
one of my sisters who passed away, she had multiple abortions. Multiple abortions.
Did she have mental problems?
No. She had a lot of addiction problems.
Well, those are mental problems.
But no, she did. But she had many abortions.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't her. It was almost her primary form of birth control. Yeah, like it many, many times.
Isn't it easier to take some pills or buy a box of condoms?
Yeah. Yeah. But it does happen. I do know people. I've known people that have done it. So, yeah. And it sucks, but we didn't find out about it until years later.
Did you find out?
We were all saying that the topic came up at a fucking dinner thing or something. And she's like, oh, yeah. And then she said, and we're all sitting there like, huh? Or deer caught in the fucking headlights. Like
how many?
Past the gravy. I don't remember. Past the gravy. Yeah, it was weird.
Like three or more? Or?
My memory thinks more.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I know that with everyone, I don't know if it's still true, but years ago, I remember reading an article that with everyone, it reduces your chances of a full viable pregnancy later.
I don't know the answer to that.
Everyone reduces it by a few percentage
points. I do not know the answer to that one.
It might be different now. Maybe they've got better technology. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's fucking depressing, eh?
Yeah, this whole fucking show was all about fucking pedophilia and fucking, yeah, no.
So next week it'll be about clown porn.
Let's do a science episode, something that can open people's eyes.
That's your thing.
Yeah, this is my thing.
Next week's show will be brought to you by Dean.
I was reading my Scientific American on the train ride home today.
Well, there you go.
It was.
Don't say it now.
It was about the new origins of life. Originally, people thought that life started in the deep oceans, you know, those thermal vents.
Oh, yeah.
They're thinking that that's probably where it happened because in the deep ocean, you're protected from all the shit that's happening on the surface.
Okay.
But now they've got some evidence that's pointing to, you know, those hot pools in...
Oh, like hot springs?
Not hot springs, but those like in Yellowstone National Park.
Geysers.
They have the geysers, and they also have the pools with lots of sulfur and ammonia and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Not necessarily sulfur and ammonia pools, but pools like that with heat from below,
right,
giving it energy, and also boiling the water away, and then like having multiple wet and dry cycles.
Oh, okay.
And having all the building blocks needed to get life started, but it's the multiple drying and wet cycles that cause these things to be pushed together and then have the water
from again chemistry to biology.
Yes.
Well, hey, you know what? This makes me think of something. We can end on a happy note.
Okay.
We can end on a happy note. because now don't touch to say anything because I kind of told you about this.
Okay.
Second week of April. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have Aaron Raw.
Yes.
On the show.
Yes.
We've been chatting, and he's gonna come on, and he knows all about this shit.
He knows. Yeah, he's all a big time scientist, shit. Dude.
Yeah. So there's your fucking science episode.
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk to Lawrence, so.
Well, that's your fault.
How? What?
I decided it's your fault.
Instead of setting something up at a time when I'm available, let's do it while Dean's at work.
Well,
and not tell him about it until after it's happened.
Right. So that's all for this week. And no. So Aaron Raw is going to come on. We're going to talk about the phylogeny experiment.
Yes.
I got some interesting questions. I want to find out who he thinks the most dishonest apologist is.
That's a tough question.
That's a tough, yeah, but
you
I
might
want to
ask him first and see what he comes up
with. Because he's talked to like Ken Ham, right? Ham, Matt Slick, Ray Comfort.
Send him that early saying, I'm going to ask you this question.
No,
you think about it.
I want to toss it on him.
Okay.
I want to toss it on him. Cy Ten. He's talked to all these motherfuckers.
They're all equally 100% bullshit.
Yeah, but I want to know who he thinks the most dishonest, like purposely, like
Kent
Hovind or Eric, Kent or Eric, those guys are fuckheads.
I find it hard to believe that he actually believes the shit that he's spewing.
He seems to, he talks a good talk.
Like that whole Kynes thing that he grabs onto.
Yeah.
You can't just take a word as in they led different kinds of animal onto the ark, and then you grab onto the word kind and make it a thing.
Well, it's interesting because did you see the debate that Kent Hovind had with Aaron?
Most of the
non sequitur thing. So
I watched it on YouTube again.
I watched it live.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because every time Hovind would try to say kind, Aaron would say, no, you mean clade. And he would, because he just knows all of these things.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you're using the wrong word.
And then he goes into a whole like scientific thing. This is how species are separated.
This is how it works. But the funniest part about the funniest part about that whole thing is that it was eventually Kent Hovind who broke down. He called Aaron a moron. And he was like, he was insulting to him. And it was hysterical to see the guy, this fucking moral exemplar, resort to the ad hominem attacks.
Yeah.
That was fucking brilliant. So anyway, I don't want to talk about that too much because we're going to have a whole episode. And maybe Aaron will want to sit in and do news and stuff like that. That could be fun. I'm gonna ask him if his wife, LaLondra, wants to come on too.
Okay.
Because she's cool. She's a teacher, right?
Yeah.
So we need people. Yeah, that'd be really, really good. So there you see, we ended on a fucking happy note.
Yay.
Merry fucking Christmas. All right.
Christmas
in April. March.
You said April, second week of April.
But still March. I gave you the Christmas present tonight. It's like an early Christmas present.
No, him coming on will be the Christmas present.
Okay.
This is a tickle your ass with a feather.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. I think that's enough trouble for us to get into for 1 week. Thank you for not saying your children's names.
You're welcome.
Say it now, I'm punch you right in the fucking balls.
Then I won't have any more children.
Exactly.
But I'm not having any more children, so that's okay.
Okay.
I still would like my balls. My ball.
Yeah, right. That's a story for another episode. And until then, I have been Michael.
I have been Dean.
And we'll see you later.
We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.